Good morning. Welcome to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Cancer or glaucoma patients in Maryland who hope to use marijuana to ease their symptoms are probably a year away from being able to fill a physician's prescription for it under the medical marijuana system set up by the state legislature. But as early as next month, the state's Medical Cannabis Commission could start taking applications for one of the 15 licenses to grow medical marijuana. Governing boards in several counties across the state already have been asked to approve zoning for medical marijuana factories. A medical marijuana industry is starting to take root in the Old Line State, and we thought it would be interesting to learn what kind of reception it's getting. With me in the studio is Michael Dresser, state government reporter for the Baltimore Sun, who's been covering some cannabis proposals in Western Maryland and the Eastern Shore. Welcome back to the show.
Happy to be here.
And joining us by phone is Delegate Dan Morheim, a Democrat who represents Baltimore County in the legislature. He's a medical doctor and was the chief sponsor of the medical cannabis law. Welcome back, Delegate Morheim.
Good to be with you both.
Michael, you went to Hagerstown, Washington County to check on the proposal of an outfit called Green Thumb Industries to build a medical marijuana production plant there. What did you learn?
Well, what I learned was that this company apparently has done a very good job of reaching out to the local governing authorities, the Board of Commissioners there, and making a case that it has a level of professionalism and the security in place so that its activities will not spill out into the community.
And so the Board of County Commissioners, all Republican?
Yes.
Voted?
Five Republicans voted unanimously to give their blessing to the proposal to put this growing and processing facility in an industrial park outside of Hagerstown. And it's well set off from any churches, homes, schools. I went out to the site, and it's pretty industrial. So,
but you reported this as if it was, you didn't think it would be a foregone conclusion that such a conservative county as Washington County would okay a production facility for medical cannabis.
Well, I talked with one of the commissioners there, and he said if you'd asked him 3 years ago whether he'd be voting in favor of a cannabis plant in the county, that he would have thought you were crazy. But opinions have really been changing fairly quickly on the whole question of medical cannabis. And even in conservative counties like Washington County, where many of the local lawmakers voted against the medical cannabis bill, now that it's been approved, they see a business opportunity and employment opportunities for their constituents.
You checked on a few other places. Is Washington County an exception?
No, not at all. I think there is some interest in Allegheny County, in Talbot County. There have been expressions of interest in Kent County. So it's not just, the urban areas of the state where there's some receptivity to this idea of a medical cannabis in its industry.
Delegate Morheim, under the first version of medical marijuana the legislature passed, am I right, that cannabis would have been produced by academic institutions, not by entrepreneurs?
No, that's not correct. They would have just been the research. But we've moved way past that. And to pick up a couple of things, first, thanks, Sheila, for mentioning patients at the beginning, because as much as we discuss the business side of this, let's not forget that process has been going on for years now, 60,000 to 80,000 Marylanders who could benefit from medical cannabis. Children with seizures to people with cancer and multiple sclerosis have not been helped. Secondly, I would like to point out that the support for this has been overwhelmingly bipartisan. Typically, of the last 3 years, the votes in the Maryland General Assembly have been on the order of 188 legislators, somewhere on the order of 175 to 10 or less. And its bills have been signed by Governor O'Malley and Governor Hogan. I think what's going on at the local level is that the locals are beginning to catch up with the fact that the process is moving along, and businesses and dispensaries are coming. What they may not be fully aware of is that the legislation that was passed at the state level and signed by both governors and its strong support has a great deal of safety and security in it. There really is not any reason to impose any further restrictions because the bills wouldn't have passed if there wasn't safety, security, avoidance of diversion, testing, background checks, all kinds of things, video cameras. If that wasn't in the original legislation, it wouldn't have passed. And the last thing I point, just to comment on something that Mike and you have both said, is that the national picture in this is changing. I was at the conference of the National Conference of State Legislators recently, and some people, you may have seen the article, that there was an overwhelming bipartisan vote, so strong that they didn't even bother doing just a voice vote, didn't even do a count, asking the federal government to change its laws, reschedule marijuana from a Schedule One drug, which is all danger and no benefit, to something more reasonable, and do research and also allow for the bank federal banking laws to change, which is an impediment to this process.
That's State Delegate Dan State Delegate Dan Morheim, a Baltimore County Democrat who sponsored the medical marijuana law here on Maryland Morning, WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Also here with me in the studio is Michael Dresser, state government reporter for the Baltimore Sun. We're talking about the first steps of a medical marijuana industry in Maryland.
We're going to call it medical cannabis. That is the proper term now in the state law. It's called cannabis, which is a scientific term, and maybe a little less pejorative than marijuana. This is a medicine now, and that's what we're looking at it.
I want to pick up on your point about the relation with the federal government, because, am I right, something like half the states and the District of Columbia have okayed medical cannabis, but it's growing marijuana still remains, and distributing it still remains illegal under federal law. In what way does that cast a cloud on this?
Well, you're right. More than half the U.S. population now lives in a medical cannabis state, and even Louisiana passed legislation that Governor Jindal signed just a few weeks ago, just to show you how well accepted this is. There are federal barriers. There have been some changes, some research impediments to research, which should have been happening all along for the last 50 years, have been removed. In bipartisan votes, the Congress, which doesn't usually agree on anything, given their gridlock, but in bipartisan votes, the Congress has voted to not allow funding for DEA activities, drug enforcement activities, to prosecute people using medical cannabis in states where they're following their own state's medical cannabis laws. Nonetheless, the system is, there are inconsistencies because of this conflict between state and federal law. And that was another thing that the National Conference of State Legislators, this bipartisan group asked for, is that the federal government just let the states do what they want.
But is it clear to you whether the entrepreneurs we've been talking about in Maryland will be able, for example, to use federally chartered banks to handle their finances?
That's definitely a problem, and that is one of the problems. In other states, that is an inconsistency here that needs to be fixed, and the way it's been approached in other states is not entirely satisfactory, but it's been through state chartered banks and credit unions, and that might be what will happen here, but we don't know yet.
State law envisions 15 growing facilities, but a lot more dispensaries of medical cannabis, as many as 94, two in each legislative district. Michael Dresser, do you expect rural areas to be as relaxed when those proposals start coming forth? Proposals for dispensaries?
No, I don't. I think that the growing facilities are easy to remove from visibility.
As you described, the one in
right.
In
Hagerstown. And you can locate these off in an industrial park or as in Easton, recycle, where the proposal is to recycle an old Black and Decker plant. With dispensaries, they are retail outlets by definition, and they are going to want to locate in retail areas with some visibility. And
let me interrupt, Michael. It's retail, but it's not open for general distribution. It's only for those patients and those doctors who have gone through the commission process. It's like getting a prescription filled. You can't walk into a pharmacy and get any prescription filled just by asking. This is not a liquor store. This is a medical distribution center, and it operates very much like a pharmacy very much in parallel, and that's how the bill was designed. So it's not really retail in the sense of open to the public.
I understand that,
teens,
Dan,
so
but I think if you're operating a dispensary, you're not going to want to be
that's
shoved
true.
Off into some area, and I think you're already seeing in Baltimore County some talk of legislation that could push these facilities into remote places.
Let me just zip in there and see. As I understand it, County Councilwoman Vicky, I'm sorry, I'm blanking.
Vicky Almond.
Vicky Almond is proposing legislation to give the county control over where dispensaries would be located. And State Senator Bobby Zirkin is already saying that he, the chair of the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee, is saying he would put forth legislation to make sure that the dispensaries are not blocked by counties.
I think what people need to appreciate is that the dispensary will be operating very much like a pharmacy, that the state law has a great deal of security and accountability within dispensaries. There are going to be video cameras. There will be physical barriers. There will be all kinds of protection. So there's really no reason to have any county restriction. I think just a lot of county officials are not aware of the state law, because they really haven't had to focus on it yet. But when they look at it and they realize the bipartisan vote, the number of issues that were addressed in state law, they'll relax. You certainly don't want
we're
to put a barrier to
time,
people getting
Delegate
medicine.
Moore.
That's the key thing. You don't want barriers for people getting medicine, and that's what this is.
Thank you both. We're flat out of time. I appreciate your coming in. Michael Dresser, a state government reporter for the Baltimore Sun. State Delegate Dan Moorheim, a Baltimore County Democrat and medical doctor, sponsor of the medical marijuana law. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead, reflecting on the duties of citizenship. Stay with us on 88.1.